Okay? Great. Okay, can I ask you, if you haven't got a Bible, put your hand up and then you can have one, and then you can understand that what I'm saying is not just made up. So if you do need one, only so that you can refer back to the previous chapter when we do go through it. So if you do, just put your hand up and Joel's at the back and she will get you one. So we are back in the one another's. He ain't heavy, he's my brother, was a smash hit for the Hollies. It featured Elton John on the piano of the original song and has been covered by the likes of Neil Diamond, and the Osmonds cover it regularly when they do their concerts. Now the title for the song came from the motto for Boys Town, which was a community formed in 1917 by a Catholic priest named Father Edward Flanagan. It was a place where troubled or homeless boys could come for help. And in 1941, Father Flanagan was looking at a magazine called The Messenger when he came across a drawing of a boy carrying a younger boy on his back with the caption, "He ain't heavy, mister, he's my brother." More poignant to us probably in this city is that we know this song to be the epitome of the Hillsborough Justice success as it reached the Christmas number one slot back now in 2012. Well, tonight in our series on the one another's, we're going to look at what it means to bear one another's burdens. Are we good burden bearers? Do we actually know what it means to bear one another's burdens? This section of scripture deals with restoring those who have fallen under the heavy burden of sin. It deals with those who have fallen and failed and given in to sin. It deals with those who think they are better than others and judge people by their sins. It deals with we, as a church, how we as Christian brothers and sisters in Christ deal with each other's sin and our own. It deals with when we feel trapped, ensnared in sin and there's no way out. It deals with the self-righteous. It deals with the legalist. It deals with the proud. But most importantly, it deals with a way out of sin. It deals with a restoration path for the worst of sinners, for how we have to take the responsibility of our own sins, but have support to deal with them, and how we can help others deal with their sin. So if you're here tonight and you can feel as though you've completely messed up, if you feel you're a failure socially, if you feel you're a failure spiritually, if you feel you're a failure because you're worn out physically, then you're in the right place to hear that your failure is not final. Sin and failure is the reality of every Christian living a Christian life. We are not alone. We look at those in the Bible. Look at Job, Daniel, Isaiah, Peter, Paul. Almighty men of God who knew the reality of sin. So tonight we're going to look at Galatians 6. As Ian said to us before, it's a practical application of the end of chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul talks to the church about keeping in step with the Spirit. And by doing so, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And Paul lists the works of the flesh as sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And he says, "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." So we have a problem, and the problem is sin. So, how do we, as a church, deal with someone who we know is in sin? Well, in this passage, it seems, doesn't it, that the person is caught in sin, or maybe the sin has caught them, so to speak. So maybe they thought they could perhaps flirt with the temptation he thinks he can withstand, or simply try to live his life in his own power, and fails, producing a deed of the flesh rather than the fruit of the Spirit. Can you see the battle? What does Paul say in Romans 7? I want to do good. I don't want to sin, but the sin I don't want to do, I keep on doing. I'm a believer. I'm stuck in sin. I need help. Well, when it says in verse 1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So, like in a battle where we need medics, we need the ones who will put the bandage on, give the fluids, patch you up so you can get back out there. Where's the team in the church when one fails in a battle against sin? Where are the ones who can help restore? Well, it's you and it's me. The responsibility for the restoration of those who stumble rests on the shoulders of the church whose members are, what does Paul say? Spiritual. Well, who are they? Who are the spiritual he's talking about here? Well, the spiritual ones are the ones he lists back in chapter 5, if you have your Bibles with you, and this is what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Well, I'm not super spiritual, you might say, so I couldn't possibly help. I want to, but I don't feel qualified. I need to help this person. They keep doing the same thing. It's hurting them. It's hurting others. You can see them a mile away. Why can't they? What do I do? Well, friends, any believer at any point in his or her growth towards Christ-likeness can be a spiritual believer who helps a sinful believer who was to the flesh. So let me say that again. Any believer at any point in his or her growth toward Christ-likeness can be a spiritual believer who helps a sinful believer who has fallen to the flesh or has fallen to sin. Paul says in Romans 15, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Okay, so if we can help spiritually, how do we restore this sinner? Well, Paul answers, doesn't he? Restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Not suspiciously, not inquisitive, not judging, not proud, not cruel by pushing others down. No. Restore in a spirit of gentleness. A characteristic of walking in the Spirit, as Paul mentioned in chapter 5, isn't it? Restore a fallen believer, a fallen brother or sister, by helping him recognize his sin as sin. Friends, until a person admits his sin, he cannot be helped out of it. Once he's done that, though, he must be encouraged to confess his sin before God and turn away from it in repentance, sincerely asking God's forgiveness. The best example I can give of this act of gentleness in restoring someone is in John chapter 8, where the woman is caught in the act of adultery. The Pharisees bring the woman to Jesus, don't they? And throw in front of Jesus and remind Jesus of the law of Moses that required she be stoned to death. Instead, Jesus bent down and began writing in the sand. And they pushed Jesus for an answer. And he replied, let him without sin throw the first stone at her. And when the Pharisees heard this, they left one by one. When Jesus looked up, he said to her, where are those that have come to condemn you? They're not here, Lord, she replied. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus was not interested in destroying the woman. He was interested in helping her. And that should be the attitude of his followers to other people, especially towards other believers. But Paul also draws an air of caution here, doesn't he, as he says. He says, look, let me warn you. Let me keep you who restore, who think you are spiritual, just a little bit on your toes. Don't get puffed up with your good deed. A spiritual believer who seeks to restore a sinning brother or sister must be humble, thus serving him in the best way possible and guarding themselves against the temptation of the flesh, of the temptation to fall into the same sin for which they disciplined their brother or sister in Christ. So we now know how to restore. Well, verse 2 is the link verse in this small section. And we're going to call this revive, which is to bring back to life. Well, how can we do that? Well, it says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone's been a Christian more than 5 minutes, they know the weight and guilt of sin can at times feel like carrying a ton of bricks around. It entangles, doesn't it? It grinds, it gnaws, it feels like there's no escape. And Paul describes sin here as a burden, a heavy load. It's difficult to lift. It's difficult to carry. But what lightens a load? Another pair of hands, doesn't it? Or a support. I remember when my close friend was training to go into the Marines. And I remember the fields by his house, and he used to run up and down these fields with this rucksack full of bricks on his back. And he'd run up and he'd down, up and he'd down. As he came out of the field, he'd then go from lamppost to lamppost, lamppost to lamppost, all to build his endurance to be able to run with this weight on his back. He arrived at the train station to go to Portsmouth, but he couldn't get on it. He came away. He came home. He got back up. He trained again the next year. And he trained and he trained and he trained. This time, he got on the train to go to Portsmouth. This time, he qualified as Marine. This time, he was able to build solid relationships that helped him when he got out into the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan. And the rucksack he would have carried then was probably twice the load he would have carried when he was training. But this time, he had the support and the motivation of his squad for every single step of the way until he was capable of carrying this new load. Well, to bring back to life, as I said before, to revive, to bear one another's burdens, how could we do that? Well, one of the ways we can do it also is pray. Pray for them. It's not enough to help our brother turn from his sin and then leave him alone. It's immediately after a spiritual victory that Satan often makes his severest attacks. Christians are continually to bear one another's burdens, walk with one another, support one another, endure with one another, encourage one another, counsel one another. And the most powerful weapon we can use for this is prayer. Pray for one another. Now, I know everyone here can pray. So if you don't feel you are super spiritual, pray. Nothing helps another carry their burden in conquering sin and opposing Satan as prayer for and with one another. Bear one another's burdens. But then if you like in part B or the second line of this sentence, it says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what is that? Well, Paul again has told us previously in chapter 5, he says, you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's referring back to when Jesus was speaking in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. So what's the law of Christ? It's love. You cannot love one another without first loving Christ. The law of Christ is the law of love. You cannot bear one another's burdens without love. Our love for one another as Christians is a clear commandment. It's the fruit of the Spirit that will let us bear one another's burdens. But here's Paul again, another warning. But wait, says Paul, as he comes into verse 3. Let me warn you. He says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. Just because you restore, just because you're gentle in your approach, even though this is your obligation to one another, do not think you're better than that person. Or you're superior in your spirituality towards that sinner. Don't judge them. Don't do it. Don't lead your mind astray. How do you stop this? Paul tells us, doesn't he? Test yourself. Test your own work. Re-examine yourself. Look back on. Stop. Is your life right before the Lord? If we have reason to boast, then it should be to boast in the Lord. And remember, the Lord does not measure believers by believers. He doesn't do it. We're not on an upward curve. He doesn't measure us by that curve. He measures us by God's absolutes and compares believers to his divine, perfect standards of righteousness. Therefore, we should use the same measure and keep a watch of ourselves. So the last verse seems like a bit of a contradiction, doesn't it? So we're told to bear one another's burdens in verse 2, and yet in verse 5 it says, for each will have to bear his own load. Oh, hang on. That is a stop, isn't it? Well, it's not a contradiction. What it's talking about here, this burden is referring to an individual burden that's not transferable. A burden that we have to take responsibility for ourselves. We each have certain obligations for which we are responsible. For example, God has given us each responsibility for our families, our churches, our personal holiness. We cannot assume the responsibility for somebody else's behavior. We can, however, bear each other's burdens. We can come alongside a struggling brother or sister and help shoulder the weight of a trial or a temptation that threatens to pull them under. But we cannot blame others or shift responsibility or make excuses about why we're unfaithful with the assignments we've been given. We must bear our own loads. And when a load suddenly becomes too heavy for one person, we're to bear each other's burdens. The added strength and encouragement of others is often the difference between pressing on and giving up. So as Ian said to us before, in the second half of this book, we have to be, you know, put something in action, don't we? Well, let's look at how we can put our responsibility in actions. So as we seek to restore someone in a spirit of gentleness, not exasperation, oh, I can't believe you did that again. There's no place for anger or disgust. Sin has painful consequences, and sinners are often hurting. Hurting people need to be handled with gentleness. Listen to this that a pastor once commented. I have often thought that if I ever fall into sin, I will pray that I don't fall into the hands of those censorious, critical judges in the church. Let me fall into the hands of barkeepers, streetwalkers, drug dealers, because such church people would tear me apart with their long, wagging, gossiping tongues, cutting me to shreds. The harsh words, please, please don't let that be true of this church. Please. When we bear one another's burdens, we do it with gentleness. We have to be responsible for our words, don't we? Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. We shouldn't judge someone caught in a sin. Guard your tongues, because next time it could be us, couldn't it? We could be tempted, fall into the same sin, or a different one, or find ourselves in the need of bit to be restored. So let's try never to think, how could this person do this? Or I'd never do that. Because it's always best to think, I'm a sinner too. I could fall too. Our roles might be reversed next time. Remember, a load shared is a load lightened. The song, He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother, has a line that says, and the load doesn't weigh me down at all. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. If you don't know Jesus here tonight, and you're wondering why I've just talked about Jesus being our example to follow, when we're helping each other with the burden of sin, it's because Jesus is the only one who could bear the weight of our sin in full. The only one who could deal with our sin once and for all. And how did he do that? He did it by dying on the cross as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. Why? Out of love for us. If you want your sin dealing with, if you recognize your sin and you want to know how to get it dealt with, you need to come to Jesus today. Lay all of that burden at the foot of the cross. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He will hold you fast. If you are a Christian here today, remember the one another's that we've done. Love one another. Serve one another. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Forgive one another. Do not grumble against one another. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. We are family. Bear one another's burdens. If all these are true, then we are able to walk and bear one another's burdens and stand amazed that Christ bore our burdens. Let's stand and sing.